harbor and have people obey the Lord in baptism. And so I like to take at least one sermon a year before we get into that. Just talk about the idea of baptism is. We use that word, and it doesn't mean what you think it means sometimes, right? And there's a lot of different teachings on that. So I want to go through and just talk about the scriptures, talk about this idea of what baptism is, and a little bit of what it isn't. So made it pretty easy. You just fill in the blank as we go down through the paperwork. But anyway, talk about baptism, right? And a lot of different churches will do it in a lot of different ways. In here, I've seen where immersion, you guys have seen that. That's what we practice here, that we take someone and bring them all the way into the water. Others will turn around and I've seen where they'll pour. They'll take a pitcher and pour it over the person. And the last one is sprinkling, where just a little bit of water is kind of just dashed on. And it's interesting, throughout history you see this as, especially as the Catholic Church moved into baptizing babies, immersion, and within those churches diminished off. Actually, very early on in church history, even the Catholic Church did baptize by immersion, but as they emphasized baptizing babies, they got away from it, which you can kind of understand. People get quite alarmed if you start dipping kids in and out of the water, right? But really, the word baptized just means, comes from the Greek word, means baptizo, which means to dip, plunge, or immerse. I like to use the illustration that in the morning you have your coffee, you have your donut, and you take your donut and you dip it into your coffee. Or if you really want to be sort of decadent, I haven't done this for a long time, but you take an Oreo cookie and you dip it into the milk, right? And that's always an iffy thing because you got to get it just right, right? Because you got to hold there long enough that it soaks up all the milk, but not too long because otherwise it's going to go plunk and go fall in there. So it's a real science to this stuff. You know, not some of you are kind of willy-nilly with your Oreos and milk, and I'll pray for you because that's just not right. But anyway, that's what the word means. And actually, when the King James translators brought this over, the Greek word, baptismal, in there, instead of translating it as plunge or as dip, they were told not to change that word, not to translate it, but just make it sound English. Because the Church of England were not using immersion, and so in there, the king said, don't change this word. We want to carry that word over and allow us to interpret it. So, but the word is, a Greek word just means to plunge, to dip, or immerse. That comes in important as we go through this. Matthew 3:16. We have Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And verse 16 says, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that what? They came up out of the water. In order to come up from the water, what did they have to do first? Yeah, you go down, right? So the picture was that here, John was baptizing in the Jordan River. Why? Because there's enough water there. And so as John was baptizing, that the person would come alongside John, and he would immerse them into the water. And that's the picture we have of Jesus Christ himself in his baptism. Not that he had to be baptized to wash away his sins or all that, but through obedience. We're going to see that as we follow on. One of the key factors of baptism is obedience. And we're going to pick that up in a little bit. Also in John 3:23, talking about John. Now John was also baptized at Enon in Siloam because there was, what, much water there. And they came and were baptized. So we start talking about the methodology. As we see the scriptures, the how things were played out, it just makes sense of the method, right? You would need much water if you're just going to pour, right? You would even need less if you sprinkled. I thought it was interesting, and during COVID, there was a meme going around of it was a priest,
with a super soaker squirt gun. And the parents were holding the baby, and he was squirting it because you couldn't touch, you'd be far away, right? You don't need a whole lot of water for those type of things. So in you, the method comes clear if you look through Scripture. Pick it up in the book of Acts, right? We talk about Jesus, we talk about John the Baptist. Now in the book of Acts, chapter 8, this is talking about Philip and the eunuch, and as they were traveling down, the eunuch was reading out of Isaiah, and Philip, the Spirit of the Lord, brought him there and asked the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? And in here, Philip got into the chariot and explained this passage of Isaiah that was talking about the Messiah. And as they were traveling down, the eunuch says, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the eunuch believed, and in here, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Once again, this picture becomes very obvious, right? How much water was there here? Why did they pick this one spot? Because there was enough water for what to happen. For both Philip and the eunuch went into the water. And then here, the eunuch went down into the water. Right? So we don't have Philip pouring. What we have, the picture here is immersion. So, anyway, once again, you take a look at what the Scripture says, how it lays out, it is real obvious that the early church baptized by immersion, by taking a person and pointing them down completely into the water. It is a public memorial that identifies a believer's position with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What baptism does is it's a picture of Christ's death, burial, and his resurrection. So you guys have, most of you have seen someone get baptized, right? We take the person, and I'll say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I take that person, and what? We take them down into the water, and then bring them back up. If you will, you picture, if the water was the ground, you'd be going down into the ground, which would be burial, but you don't stay there. You come back up. So it's Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And in here is a beautiful picture of what the Lord has done for us. It is also links in here this idea that I die to myself and now rise in newness of life. And I don't know if you guys can hear that when you're up on the shoreline, but I tell the person I'm baptizing, at the end, I said, being associated with Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection, now I encourage you to walk in newness of life. And in here, it's a public testimony. Now, I can see someone's heart, right? If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have faith in him, that in here, I can't see what happens on the inside. But baptism is a public testimony of what happened on the inside. That through Christ, I died, and now I want to live for him. Is it interesting, in the countries around the world, we had friends who were in Pakistan, and the believers there would go down to the river and get baptized. Now, Pakistan is a Muslim country, and the community would come out to see who was getting baptized. And it wasn't to encourage them in that, but was to see who was declaring to be Christians. And many of them, through that testimony, would lose their jobs, sometimes be ostracized from their family, even potentially face death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, believers would still go down to the water. Right? In here is a testimony for all those around of what Christ has done for them. Now, it's not for a saving, right? Baptism doesn't save. I had someone at a church once, and I was at the back door, and we were talking about the idea of baptism, and she goes, "Oh, I want my son to be baptized." I said, "Oh, let me talk to your son." "Well, he's not here." I said, "Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to talk to him about what baptism is." He goes, "Well, he doesn't really believe in Jesus," but she goes, "I want to make sure he goes to heaven." And we've taken these two things and kind of linked them together and say that you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. And the Bible is real clear that is not the case. Take a look here in Romans. Do you not know as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be walking in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also in the likeness of the resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And this is that reiterating at a point I jumped ahead, I'm sorry. But in here, this idea of being associated with his death, his burial, and resurrection. That in here, as a person who is being baptized, what you are saying is, now I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? Not for my salvation. That's already taking place in the heart. But as a witness now, what you're saying is, I want to walk a way a Christian walks now. I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am dying to myself, and now I am living for the Lord. Hopefully that makes sense. And that's what the picture of immersion, of being baptized, of going down and coming back up, has all those pictures of that death. We used to commit all service and to be there at the graveside and the finality of that. And I've done a lot of funerals, and I still, my heart aches at the communal services. They take the remains of their loved one and place it into the ground. And as the dirt is placed on there, that finality of that death. As we die to ourselves, as a continual thing, the Apostle Paul says, actually, I die daily. Lord, I'm dying to myself. I want to live for you. To walk in that newness of life, the resurrection that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talk about the method of it. And now I want to talk about the meaning of it, right? What does it mean? Why is it important? It is an outward demonstration of an inward conversion. It signifies the spiritual death, burial of the old man to sin, and it signifies the spiritual resurrection of the new man in Christ Jesus. This is what we're talking about, right? It's an outward demonstration of what's happening on the inside. Without that inward conversion, if you go out into the water, we go down to the harbor, and you go down, you go into the water, and you come up, you're still the same person. You're just wet. Right? The water can never wash away sins. It's all through what Jesus Christ has done. But by acceptance of Jesus Christ, now you are made a new person through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now the old man in you is dead, and now you live in this newness of life. And baptism is that picture. That's what it means. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And it's so important for people to realize that it's not just something you do when you're done. You know, over the years, I think one of my frustrations sometimes, people say, "Hey, I want you to be baptized." And you take them and you baptize them, and then they walk like nothing ever happened. There's no change. There's no commitment. This idea of a new life really wasn't there. It was just an event they wanted to happen. And they feel that, "Oh, I'm okay now. Yeah, I've checked it off the list." But it's not. That in here, you are signifying that I am dying to self, and now I am living for Christ. And is that public witness for those that see it? It was interesting. I was talking about baptism, and the lady's like, I want to get baptized. I said, great. She goes, but I don't want to do it publicly. Can you come to my house and just baptize me in my pool? And I explained to her, you're missing the point. That in here, there is a public display. It is for you to let others know that you are a Christian. And it kind of puts you on notice, because if you say you are something, you become a hypocrite if you don't live that out, right? Not that you were perfect, and we all struggle along the way, but in here, the heart attitude needs to be, Lord, I want to follow you. And I want everyone to know it. I kind of liken it to the idea of marriage. You have a, you know, you have a ceremony and you invite people to see that. Right? All you need to do is actually to get married. You can go see Mark. Go into an office. Sign some paperwork. And walk out married. But guess what? You want to tell people. You want people to know. Right? The whole wedding ceremony is for a celebration of a witness of these two becoming one. Baptism has that element of it that is an outward display of what's happened inside. I want people to know that I'm a Christian. I want people to know I want to try to live the Christian life. I want him to have his way in me. That I associate with his death and burial and resurrection. That is what my hope is in. All these things are wrapped up in the waters of baptism. So why is it important? Why is it important? First of all, God commands it. In Matthew 28, we have the Great Commission. And Jesus says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In this, before Christ left, one of the last commands he left for a church was to go make disciples. And disciple is just a fancy word for a follower, right? Teach the gospel. Teach the word. Have people follow me. And in that process is to baptize. So we do it in obedience to the Lord. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right? Lord, I love you, so I'm going to do what you ask me to do. Why is it important? Jesus was baptized. We read those verses in Matthew, right? And Jesus from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized of him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized of you, and you are coming to me. Right? Imagine John, the forerunner, right, if you will, of Jesus, the Messiah. And Jesus, the Messiah, comes to him and ask John, will you baptize me? And John's like, whoa. No. I need to be baptized by you, right? This is Jesus' word. But Jesus answered and said, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, when he allowed him. Right? Jesus, in obedience to the Father, got baptized. How much more so should we, in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, get baptized? Jesus was baptized as set an example for us? Yes. It wasn't for righteousness' sake. It wasn't for forgiveness of sin. It wasn't because Jesus needs salvation. None of those things. But it was in obedience. Now, Lord, I don't understand it all. But Lord, this is what you've asked me to do. And sometimes I'll be honest, as a pastor, as someone who is in the Word and teaches the Word, I'm perplexed sometimes when people say, look, I'm saved, but I don't want to get baptized. And it's like, why? Well, I don't want to. Yeah, but here's Jesus says to do this. Here's Jesus' own words saying he wants you to do this. And no, I don't want to. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Peter picks up this theme. It's for you to this you were called.
Because Christ also suffered for us, what? Leaving an example that we should follow his steps. And as a Christian, we should have that desire to follow the Lord. And through obedience, follow his example. And I believe that includes baptism. Why is baptism important?
When you look at the early church, practiced it.
It says, "And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." We see this play out because it's within the early church. We have people getting baptized immediately. You know, somehow over the years we've had gaps. You know, here at the church we don't have a baptism tank, so we do one big event in a year for people to get baptized. But we see within the early church that people got saved, they got baptized that same night or soon thereafter. So much so that actually some people have conflated the two and said, oh, you have to be saved to be baptized. We're going to look at it just in a little bit. That's not the case. But it was so close that people got saved and then got baptized. Why is it important? It's a public testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to let others know that we're Christians. The Bible says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." The Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." We're told to be a lampstand and let our light so shine before men. I can't think of a time more than ever before that as Christians we need to stand on our faith and declare that we stand for Christ. And in the climate we have today, you might lose friends over it. You might be scoffed and picked on. But, you know, take this world and give me Jesus. And willing to take that stand for the Lord. Be associated with him and not be ashamed of it. And baptism is a point of that. So we talk about the method, immersion. We talk about the importance of it. We talk about the meaning of it. So the question is, who should be baptized? If, you know, Pastor, if baptism is so good, everyone should be baptized. Well, almost everyone. Book of Acts points out, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls." Notice the condition, those who received his word. Baptism is only for those who are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are Christians. Because it's not for salvation, right? There's no merit, there's nothing that's earned. Once again, if someone chooses to get baptized without belief, it is nothing. So baptism is only for those who believe. And every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should be baptized according to the Word of God. It's interesting to come up with the idea of is baptism necessary for salvation? You know, couple passages are usually pointed out. One is about the thief on the cross. Here, Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." But there is no time or opportunity for the thief to get off the cross, to get baptized, right? And yet he was still in glory. The other passage I like to point out is this is Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is the story of Cornelius. See, up until this point of the book of Acts, it was Jews who were receiving the gospel. Right? Again, Acts chapter 2. When in here, the Holy Spirit came upon the church. They were all Jews.
And then as I signed, there was a rushing wind, and there was like little tongues of fire that appeared over their heads. And the Bible says they spoke in languages. So much so that they're all speaking all these different languages, and people are like, what's going on in there? But it was obviously God was doing something, and God allowed this, I want to say the word show, but this display to prove that the Holy Spirit came, right? Because we can't see the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit came down and nothing appeared, then how would you know? So God made it obvious that the early church, the Holy Spirit had come upon them. But up to this point, it was only Jews who were getting saved. Here, we turn around, and we have Cornelius, who is a Gentile. Let me point this out. Acts chapter 10, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, and here, Peter is explaining the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who were believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard him speak in tongues. And we almost have a recreation, right? The Holy Spirit came upon those first Jews in Acts 2, and now we have the Holy Spirit who fell upon the Gentiles. So no one can argue that they received the Holy Spirit, right? They got saved the same way. And so the Holy Spirit comes. You get the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? When you repent from your sins, when you believe that he died on the cross for you, the Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in you. That is your salvation. The Holy Spirit is your seal. He is your promise. He is your helper along the way. All those things happen when you get saved. But notice here that as the word was being preached, they believed and they received the Holy Spirit. Now look what happens. It says, then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that they should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? If you follow this, right? The Holy Spirit didn't come after baptism. Baptism doesn't save. Baptism doesn't come, the salvation doesn't come after baptism. What we have here is the clear case of salvation first, and then they follow by obedience in baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, and there were also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. And some people say, aha, see, here's baptism saves. Look what it says. Because Peter, I think, anticipates this question. Not the removal of filth of the flesh, but what? An answer to a good conscience towards God. Salvation isn't for the saving of the soul. In here is for a clear conscience of God. Because God wants you to be baptized. And by obedience we do it. So salvation, baptism isn't for salvation. Back in Acts chapter 8, right, who should be baptized? This is now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. The only prerequisite for baptism is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you repent from your sins? And in that, the Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in you. If so, the next thing that you should do in your Christian walk is get baptized. Now, in this, it excludes infant baptism. Why? Because an infant can't believe. And over the years, a lot of people have turned around and said, hey, you know, I was baptized as a baby.
And usually what I ask people is, what does that mean to you?
Well, it didn't mean anything, right?
You know, most of us don't remember that. Actually, I found this cute little meme. It says, the day I was at church and a guy in a suit tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family just stood there taking pictures. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think the point is valid. Because baptism is your testimony to those around you of your faith in Jesus Christ. If you do not remember, that means nothing. Then I encourage people to get baptized again as your testimony. Right? Maybe your parents did it as a dedication, or maybe they did it because the church said to do it. But your baptism is a testimony between you and God, and you and those around us. I talked to a gentleman who got baptized as an older child. He was the deacon in the church, actually, and we were talking about this, and he goes, Pastor, I got kind of a problem. I said, what? He goes, I was like 10 years old, and I got baptized. I said, well, that was good. He goes, yeah, but I wasn't a believer. That in here, my family, my parents got saved, and they got baptized, and they wanted all their kids to get baptized, so my parents said, you're getting baptized. So they made me do it. He goes, what do you think I should do? Once again, I said, what does that mean to you? What did that mean to you? He goes, well, it meant I did what my parents wanted me to do. I said, is that a good reason to get baptized? He said, no. I said, let me ask you, do you think you should do it? He said, yeah. He goes, yeah, but what's the church going to think? You know, got a 70-year-old deacon. What are you going to think of? I get baptized. I said, I think they're going to rejoice with you. And so we came up to the baptism waters, and he stood up and came down. And I think everyone thought he was going to try to help me do something. And then no one else got there. So we went up and he got baptized. And the church family just came around him and just celebrated together. The in here is an opportunity for the church to come together and praise and be encouraged by those who are walking by faith. We talked about the method, we talked about the meaning, we talked about the importance, we talked about the who, and then the only one is left is when. Notice what it says in Acts. It says, and those who gladly received his word were baptized, and it says, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. We see this throughout the early church. Acts 16, and he took him the same hour of the night and washed his stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. We see the biblical picture of people getting saved, people getting baptized, and then people join the church. We see that boom, boom, boom. So in here, I think I'm clear on the authority of the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you believe that he is God and he saved you from your sins, I want to encourage you, if you're not baptized, this is your shot. This is your chance. Don't put it off. In here, in obedience, pleasing to the Lord, it's a testimony to those around you. I encourage you to get baptized and follow the Lord in obedience of what he has asked us to do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the clear teaching that's here. That through baptism, Lord, we declare our faith. Lord, through baptism, we follow you in obedience in our walk with you. Lord, I thank you for those who've thought about it. And Lord, I pray today just on the authority of the word, they will see this is the right thing to do. Lord, not for the salvation of the soul, but as a public display and testimony of what we've already believed. Lord, I look so forward of just
2 weeks from today of gathering in the waters and seeing by faith those who are taking a step to walk with you. Bless them in that. Lord, we ask this in your name.
Amen. Let me stand and sing. I have